You heard Joel Witt talking there about one thing that's unlikely to happen anytime soon, North Korea giving up its nuclear weapons. Here's another unlikelihood from Asia, Hong Kong becoming a full-fledged democracy. One country, two systems. That's how the handover of Hong Kong from Britain to China was billed back in 1997. Beijing would continue on its path, and Hong Kong would do the same. But now, 20-plus years later, many Hong Kongers wonder if their city isn't becoming mainlandized. International affairs analyst Isaac Stonefish lived in Hong Kong, and recently he went back to check in on the state of democracy in the city state. Isaac joins us now in Boston to tell us what he saw. So you were especially interested in meeting a woman named Claudia Mo. Give us some background on Claudia Mo. Who is she?
So in America, politicians become journalists. You see CNN, you see Fox, and in a lot of parts of Asia, journalists become politicians. So she had a fairly long, fairly illustrious career as a journalist and seemed to get into politics for the same reason most people do. It was an issue that she was passionate about and she felt like she could change things.
So we've seen and heard about protest movements in Hong Kong in recent years. Who can forget the famous umbrella movement a couple of years ago? Where does Claudia Mo fit into all of this?
Mo is definitely more critical of Beijing and much more supportive of the Hong Kong position. She said the Chinese are probably the most nationalistic and patriotic people in the world. And she didn't mean it as a compliment.
When a big brother, the big boss up there tells you this is all for the good of the country, the people, the tribe, the breed, that's called Chinese, you just buy it. So it's very sad.
Her views are much more indicative of the pro-Hong Kong camp in Hong Kong, people who want to see Hong Kong as a flourishing, messy, democratic or democratic-like polity. And on the other side, you have the pro-Beijingers, people who want to see a kind of state capitalism and, though they rarely say this part of it, want to see a more restricted space, a space with less freedom of speech, freedom of assembly and freedom of religion, less freedom in general.
I'm curious, when you go to Hong Kong, I've never been there, what are the obvious signs that there's democracy there? And when does it start looking like mainland China?
So it depends if you're coming from the United States or from China.
I'm sure, yeah, right.
If you're coming in from China, it's such a breath of fresh air. You can see people protest on the street. You can see protesters from the banned spiritual group Falun Gong. You can see a raucous newspaper. You can see lively political debates. The city feels in some ways more alive than cities on the mainland.
And of course, that would never happen on the mainland.
It does happen on the mainland. It usually just gets taken care of.
And when does Hong Kong start looking like the mainland and feeling kind of oppressive?
There's a massive garrison for soldiers of China's People's Liberation Army, the military, that's in downtown Hong Kong. It's a hard symbol to avoid. And whenever bigwig Chinese officials come to Hong Kong, the city can take on more of a fusty mainland feel.
So, Isaac, is China less committed these days to the one country, two systems scheme?
So, on the one hand, Beijing has kept a lot more promises with Hong Kong than it has to a lot of other people in China. In Hong Kong, Beijing does keep a lot of the promises, but it's not a fair and freely elected democracy, and that's what a lot of people in Hong Kong want.
So why doesn't China just do what it wants with Hong Kong? Why don't they just make it part of the mainland and treat it like every other part of China?
One word, Taiwan. So Taiwan is a self-governing island that Beijing claims as its own. And if Beijing were to go in and really put the smackdown on Hong Kong, that would send a pretty strong message to the people of Taiwan that if they were ever to rejoin the mainland, they would not be allowed to keep anything remotely resembling their way of life.
So if we get back to Claudia Mo, is she pessimistic or optimistic about Hong Kong's future? And what can she do about it as a small D Democrat?
God, she is one of the most pessimistic people I've ever heard speaking about Hong Kong's future.
I think Hong Kong is going down fairly fast anyway. I just don't know what role we can play anymore, except we still try not to be a pessimistic. We are not taking everything lying down. We need to fight back.
What she can do to fight back is have these conversations, talk to foreign reporters and really try to make her voice heard and try to communicate about what she sees as some of the awful things happening to her beloved city.
International Affairs Analyst Isaac Stonefish, thanks for coming in and telling us about which way Hong Kong is headed.
Thanks for having me.